Welcome to Otaku American. This is Mikey Fresh here. In today's installment of Otaku American, it is Robot Wednesday. So in Robot Wednesday, we basically talk about things that are robot or very or robot adjacent, you could say. So in this episode, you have myself and Soapbox talking about Exoprimal and Armored Core 6. They had some gameplay that was released, and our thoughts on Armored Core 6 and basically Exoprimal, now that it's been out for, you know, a couple weeks now, and along with some other things. So stay tuned. Basically, in this segment, we're going to really talk about some robot stuff. More specifically, Armored Core 6, and how, you know, of course, at the time that we're recording this, we don't have, Armored Core hasn't come out yet, so.
1 month and counting.
Yeah, so, I've seen, like, I think you told me about some of the stuff that was the gameplay that they showed in regards to Armored Core 6. What did you think about it? Because when I saw it, you know, it was what I expected, so.
I mean, it wasn't anything out of the ordinary, but it did look extremely smooth, fast-paced, fun. The level design is what really took it over for me. You know, because like when you see a mech game, it's like, you know, you expect something so different from, say, Zone of the Enders with more customization, which, you know, the Zone of the Enders series was good, if I'm showing my age right now. But what's it called? Like Armored Core, it looked good, man. It's just, it flowed, it was smooth, it was fast paced. I don't really know what else to say about it that, you know, is it reinventing the wheel? No, but it looks good. Looks great, actually.
The problem is it was the wheel. So that's the only problem. It was the wheel, and there was a lot of mech games that came out after it that kind of took one aspect over the other. So what I mean by that is,
so I'm not an Armored Core fan.
Armored Core.
I've never played an Armored Core game in my life.
Yeah, this would be your first one.
You'll be popping your old school Armored Core
cherry on this thing.
Yes. So my mech cherry.
Yeah. So, but I played pretty much. I think I played just about all of them. Well, all the mainline ones. I think I played 1 through 5, all the mainline. Some of the offshoots I haven't really played too much. Plus, they came out on like other consoles that either A, I didn't have, or B, it came out when I didn't have it anymore. So, but from what I saw now, from it.
Quick question. Okay. I'm sorry. For me and for the people who don't know, when was the last Armored Core to come out? Was that like the PS3 era?
I think there was one that came out on PS4.
One didn't come out on PS4? Okay.
I believe so. But it's hard for me to say definitely because, like, I have never owned a PS4 all that long. So,
okay.
Like, I'll have a PS4. Like, you know, I've had a PS4, and then somebody asked me, like, hey, you want to play PlayStation 4? I'm like, play something on PlayStation? I'm like, yeah, I don't have PlayStation anymore. So, so it's like hit or miss in that regard. But, now I'm almost positive there was an Armored Core that came out on I think the Armored Core 5 was on PS3.
Okay.
Yeah, so there might have been a PS4 or something that came out on PS4, but it was like, you know, one of those offshoot ones. So
okay.
Yeah. So it was probably like Verdict Day or something like that.
Mm. I cut you off. What was your opinion about the showcase?
I thought it was cool. I mean, I didn't really watch too much of it in that regard of that game specifically, but I watched it for the other stuff. But for Armored Core itself, like it's one of those situations in which I don't watch the gameplay because I'm just going to find out when I play it because I'm going to buy it.
Yeah.
So it's,
oh, like, I mean, it's pretty, it's like the reason I'm buying it for, and I've explained it to you. It's from software, and you don't come from making what is, in my opinion, one of the best games ever made, Elden Ring. to release a dud. That usually doesn't happen. And I think that this them reintroducing the series is going to bring a lot of newcomers like me into it after, you know, the Soulsborne games that have come out for the past decade, I want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, I before the Souls series, I did not know what From Software was. I never heard of them. So, you know, like they were just another company that was putting out. I heard of Armor Core, but I didn't know what the company's name that was making them, honestly.
Yeah, you know? it's funny like in that regard, because it's like if it's a game that you don't normally play and it's from, you know, a company that makes it, if you don't normally play the game, then you wouldn't know what the company is. But then if that company decides mm-hmm. to make something else and it's something that's like in your wheelhouse, then that's when it shows up and it's like, oh, From Software? Yeah, they make the Souls games, this, that, and the third. And I'm like, because I remember having this conversation with you at work and I was like, yeah, From Software makes Armored Core. You're like, what? I was like, From Software makes Armored Core. So they also make other mech like games. Like I've played Chrome Hounds, which was made on Dreamcast. No, on Xbox 360. I played Chrome Hounds, okay. And they make Chrome Hounds also. So I've known From Software as making mech games, and that's it. Like, I'm sure they made other games. I just didn't know what they were because I only played the mech games. So for them to, when they stopped making, well, it's not that they stopped making Armored Core, but it was kind of like they stopped making Armored Core.
They kind of did. Yeah. So, I mean,
because you've made five Armored Cores and then you have like, now that I'm looking at it, I don't think they made an Armored Core that came out on PS4, but, you make all these Armored Core games. You got five Armored Core games plus whatever offshoots that come with them. So you figure you have five games. You probably got a solid like 10 to 15 Armored Core games. And that's all you were making for that stretch of time. So, yeah, eventually you get kind of burned out on that kind of thing. So that's why I wasn't surprised that they were like, you know what? We can make other stuff. So we can make other games.
I think what happened was is... you know, like Miyazaki, who was just kind of like, he was a desk worker helped design these Armored Core games. They gave him a shot with the Souls, what was the first one? Demon's Souls. And while it did pretty good. It sold all right, but you know, Dark Souls is what sold.
Yeah.
Like, and that was like a runaway hit.
Yeah.
So I understand why they stopped for the Armored Core series for a little while, because you know they know where they were making their money, what they could have been making their money from. They got signed up to Namco Bandai, and even Sony and Activision had them publish games with Bloodborne for Sony and Sekiro for Activision.
Yeah.
So yeah, they ran away with it. So it's like, okay, we're big enough now, where we can do whatever we want, and we want to introduce this series again.
Yeah,
and I'm for it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's funny because I'm like, I'm looking at their timeline for the release dates in Armored Core, and I remember these dates, but the crazy part is it's like just about every year or every other year they're coming out with something Armored Core wise. They got Armored Core, the first one came out in 97. The expansion came out in 97 also. They had Master Arena come out in 99. Armored Core 2 came out in 2000. 2 another 8 2001. Armored Core 3 2002. So you know, I was loving life because it was like every year an Armored Core game was coming out.
I had no idea there was this many.
They had 2003 Silent Line, 2004 Nexus, Ninebreaker, Formula Front, those three separate ones. You had Last Raven in 2005. You had Armored Core 6 in 2006. You had 4 Answer in 2008, and then they had a little gap in which Armored Core 5 came out in 2012. Verdict Day came out in 2013. And now you got Armored Core 6 coming out. And Fires of Rubicon coming out in 2023. So literally 10 years after the fact.
10 years. Yeah. So, when did Demon's Souls release?
Within those 10 years is probably when those Demon's Souls games were coming out.
Yeah, I think Demon's Souls came out near the end of the lifespan for the PS3.
Yeah. Well, let me check that out real quick. I'll just go to From Software.
I'm trying to think. Maybe not the end of the life, so to speak, because Dark Souls was still on that system.
Dark Souls came out in North America in October 6th of 2009.
Oh, okay. So there was an intersection between the two.
Yeah, there was. Not a lot, because Dark Souls came out in 2020.
Demon Souls came out in... I remember Dark Souls came out 2011 because it came out a couple weeks before Skyrim, which also came out 11-11-11.
So you had Dark Souls in 2011, Dark Souls 2 in 2014, and Dark Souls 3 in 2016.
Yeah. And I think that Bloodborne came out between Dark Souls 2 and 3.
Yeah, it came out in 2015. Yeah. And they had Sekiro came out.
Shadows Die Twice. And then
that came out in 2019. And then they also had Elden Ring. So, and that came out, 2021, 2022?
2022. Oh, that was last year, 2022,
yeah. Yeah. Because there's the game that started it all in regards to, I never played this game, but Kingsfield came out in 1994. That was their first title that they ever made. And it was a franchise because they had a whole bunch of those games too.
That was the influence for Demon's Souls and Dark Souls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how it's like, you know, I've explained to people before, like, you know, It, even though it's kind of wrong, and I realize it's wrong now, and I apologize. Because in my eyes, Armored Core, Dark Souls, and the Souls games is a derivative of Armored Core, which is correct to some extent, but they're all a derivative of Kingsfield.
Because they all have it from it. I've heard you got two sets of influencers on YouTube right now. You got the ones who have been with Armored Core from the get. That's like your camp, and the ones who have never played an Armored Core game, but now they're interested, like me. And all of them kind of echoed the same sentiment that, like, that from what they've been told, that for anybody who says that Armored Core is a Souls-like, it's like the games have always sort of been that way. They've
all been like that. That's from software's like Jam. Like, all their games are going to have something similar to that. Now, they're going to be just inherently different games, but their base, like, you could say their source code is all the same.
Yeah. So there were some things that I've seen people say that they added from the Souls series, like the repair kits. Mm-hmm. Or like the Eskis flask, and there's a stagger meter from that seems to be from Sekiro, seemingly.
Yeah.
If you think about it,
it makes sense because it's the company. It's From Software doing it, so
it's the natural evolution, yeah, man. You don't make
one game and then like throw the baby with the bathwater and then make something totally from scratch. Like no, like you can take some of those assets and put it in your other games. Plus, it makes you. It's one of those things where if, like, even with podcasting, people know what to expect from you and whatever podcast you're affiliated with. Same thing with From Software. Anything that From Software makes, you can expect a core of, you know, customization and, you know, all the other things that come along with that fast pace and that kind of thing. So, and that's what you expect from a software game. Like, they can make a Barbie game tomorrow, and it'd be like a Souls-like.
I like everybody is asking, because I've never really been heavy into mech games. Like, oh, you're into mech games? It's like, no, I'm into From Software. And they could release a cooking simulator, and I'd be curious to see what they do with it right now.
They have, Dark Cooking Mama. Flames of Rubicon, and you're like, oh, okay, all right, I'll check it out. Man. So,
yeah, I'm okay with this.
So
yeah, nah, I'm excited. We're a month away, man. I'm very curious. I am waiting with bated breath.
And it's an odd thing, because I remember you mentioning something about Armored Core 6 is about to come out, and like, what is Capcom thinking in regards to coming out with Exo Primal? I haven't even really played Exo Primal again. Like, I've played it here and there, but then I've like been playing other stuff because it gets repetitive relatively quickly. So
yeah, I mean, let me. Everybody thinks I have like this hate boner for this game, and I really don't. I don't think it's a bad game, but I don't think that people should be spending $60 on this game.
Yeah, they definitely shouldn't.
It's the writing is on the wall. This game is technically a live service game, and it's going to fail.
No, it's not.
Unfortunately,
it's not technically a live service game. It is a live service
game. It is a live service game. Yeah,
it is,
and it's already like I said, the writing's on the wall. It debuted on Steam. It peaked at 4,000. 4,000. That's it, bro. And the highest count now is like a little over 1,000. This game is dead.
And you know what? My issue with the game is it's trying to be everything but not really doing anything. It's a PvP and a PvE. It's live service and kind of not live service, but it is live service.
It's a campaign, but it's an online mode at the same time. Yeah,
and you know, it's you can play it by yourself, but you're not really playing it by yourself. So
it's like, just a game with bots at that point, right?
Yeah. So it's like, what are we doing here? Like, I understand what you're doing, Capcom, and Capcom, you've accumulated a lot of cachet with people. But at the same time, like, bro, what are we doing here? And it's funny because I was watching something about it, and they were talking about how that basically echoing basically what we're saying. And as I'm watching it, I'm like, well, the unfortunate part is if you look at Capcom's history, there's certain things they just can't go without making, whether it does great or bombs completely out. Mm-hmm. Now, they'll make a fighting game in the form of Street Fighter or something, some offshoot of Street Fighter. But the other thing they have a tendency of doing is making robot games.
They do have a couple of mech games, yeah.
No.
Like robot games and stuff,
they
yeah.
make a lot of robot games.
They've made quite a few, actually.
They've made, when you go, look at it this way. Exo Primal is a robot game. Mm-hmm. Tech Romancer, which is one of my favorite games, was a fighting robot game.
What was the other one? Lost Planet.
Lost Planet, yeah, is a robot game. You know what else is a robot game that most people don't look at it as a robot game, but let's keep it 100. It's a robot game. What's Mega that? Man is a robot game.
Mega Man's a robot game, yeah.
So they make robot games all the time. So if they don't make a Mega Man or any kind of robot game, they start getting the itch. So they have to make something. And that's exactly what they did. They made a robot game. Unfortunately, most people, they incorporated things that people don't necessarily care about or they're burnt out on, which is live services. A lot of people are burnt out on live service. Like everything is a live service now.
And the market is too oversaturated, and we've been in this situation. It's not what gamers want at this point. Like people really don't. They're done with this whole thing. A lot of people are. I mean, there's a couple that have survived that the test of time. And when I say a couple, I'm pretty much talking about Destiny and its sequels. But that's it. Like these games, they maintain a space for just a little while and then they disappear.
And that's why it's like everybody's like baffled as to why Capcom would do such a thing.
I mean, I thought it was going to be good because Capcom's been on a roll lately.
Yeah, but technically, but see, the problem with that game is if the game would just stay on one genre or the other, it'd be a good game. If it was a PvE, a team squad-based PvE game, mech game, it'd be great.
Mm-hmm. I think that would probably be a better deal. But like the whole thing, like when I started playing Exo Primal, when we played that match, like the PvE wasn't bad, you know?
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
I was like, oh, okay, I could see the team synergy, you know.
But see, the problem though, and I think you're going to say basically the same thing as what I witnessed with LB, because Big L is not big on PvP games. He's big on PvE games. And the game does too much of crossing back and forth. And then it gets to be confusing. You don't know what's going on. Because I remember you were like, confused. What's going on right now? And I was like, yeah, this game is... And the game doesn't really explain anything to you.
Like, this is how the match went. Dinosaurs are flying out of the sky. We're doing the PvP thing, and it was not bad. Then out of nowhere, the PvE stuff started. And I saw other robots. And it became a PvPvE scenario, and then one of our teammates turned into a dinosaur. Some explosion happened and we lost, and I was like, I don't understand what just happened.
So here's the explanation on what happened in that regard. So we start the game, and when you start the game, you see red silhouettes of the team you're going against, and they're going through the same process as you're going through. So when you get finished with sections of the board, they're getting done with sections of the board. And then that's when Leviathan tells you if you're going faster or slower than the other enemy team. So as the time is going on, you go through all those things. And once you get through with the quote unquote PvE section, it transports you into a PvP section in which you're on the same board, but you're starting from different ends of the same board. And then you're working your way to the center or wherever the meeting spot is going to be. And then you can start interacting and fighting the other team. But while you're getting to the center point, there's something that they call, I forgot what the name of the thing is, but somebody on your team, anybody on your team could pick it up. They turn into a dinosaur and they transport to the other team, whatever location they are on a board. They transport to that board, to that location, and then they can fight the enemy team. And they can do the same thing to you. That's why occasionally, like I think in our match, one of our teammates had done that. And then before you know it, a dinosaur was attacking us. A bigger dinosaur was attacking us. That's because they had done the same. But the game doesn't explain any of this. So as it's going on, it's just...
That's the biggest problem.
It's just the clusterfuck going on. You're like, what is going on here? You're like, and then the crazy part, like you were like, what's going on? What's going on? And I was like, you're like, I don't know what's going on. And I was like, the problem is you're playing in the game, so you can't really explain what's going on while you're playing the game. So, yeah. Like, you can only, like, and think about it, like, keep this in mind, listeners. We're talking about this now. We played this game, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, when it released.
Yeah, we played this game 3 weeks ago, and I'm explaining now what happened in that situation. Because you don't have time to explain stuff. And then when you play the game by yourself, you're not playing the game by yourself. You're playing it and you're jumping in with other people playing the game.
Yeah, so, we didn't even have a set team or anything.
There's no real tutorial. The tutorial is putting you in there with other people also. And it's the Leviathan is teaching you on the fly.
It just teaches you how to maneuver the character, basically. Yeah.
And then you jump into the game and then you're like, wait a minute. Okay. So you're thinking like, I know for me, when I did the tutorial, I was like, all right, so it's like a PvP, PvE. And then I jump in the game and it's like, nah, it's a PvE, but it's also a PvP. And has a whole bunch of other stuff in there. I was like, why doesn't the tutorial just go through this?
Nah. Now the match works. Nah, like, you know,
tutorials like jumping, just going in there. Fight for your freedom. So, you know, it is what it is. So, and I was like, yo, this game is like, I like the game because it's very like kinetic and frantic, but like I can't play that game over and over again because a lot of it, even though the boards do change where you have different like kind of situations, like there's a barrier thing where you have three barriers and you're basically collapsing until you get down to the center. And then you have your stereotypical like you know, PvE kind of thing. Like I was explaining before, the board I explained before, where we're starting on, where when you go to the PvP section and then you start from different ends of the board, that comes up 9 times out of 10 when you're playing the game. But then there's
that's the thing. Yeah, yeah,
there's other stuff that comes up, but it seems like the, you know, the frequency of that happens way more often than anything else. Mm. And then the more you play the game, the more you unlock in regards to the story mode. So
the thing is, there's a good game in there. The controls are tight and pretty responsive. I mean, there is a good, like, you know, there's a good game there. And I said this about a lot of live service games.
It gives a lot. It, to some extent, it has nuance. Like, what's the name of that game? Devil May Cry.
Okay.
It has some nuance. Once you get further in the game, like, you can customize your mech or your exosuit, whatever you want to call it, to however way you play the game. But it also has, like, you know, the style and nuance of, like, Devil May Cry.
Yeah, yeah, that was pretty dope. I was looking at all the different suits that were in the game.
So,
and I was like, well, that's cool.
So the game has a lot of features in it that is cool and is dope. But the problem is the execution is, like, all over the place.
Yeah.
So,
and it's just going to, unfortunately, fall flat, like, you know, because of the live service thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the, and because it's free on Xbox, you're always going to get Xbox people on there, but everybody else, you're not going to get, like, anybody else, really. Like, you get Capcom players, because when you play the game, especially I play it on Xbox, you play it on Xbox. So when you look at their person's name, you'll see an Xbox logo for them to play on Xbox.
But oh, damn near everybody had a Xbox logo.
I played recently and I've had more Capcom people playing. So I don't know I don't know if Capcom is just PC or if it's PC and PlayStation. I'm not sure.
Well, Capcoms are the other platforms.
So,
prediction is I see them yanking the online mode within a year.
Yeah.
Like by the end of next summer, that the game's not going to be playable anymore. And I just don't want people, like, not only do I hate when companies do that, I don't want people to spend their money on it. And, you know, it's not worth it for $60. I mean, if there's like a deep sale and you can get it for like $15 to $20, If you're not on Game Pass, then you know, you can buy it, but know that the game isn't going to last long, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But
I think, obviously, Armored Core is going to have more of a fan base in it than...
Oh, yeah.
It has a built-in fan base that's better than what Exoprimal has going on right now anyway. And then you're going to have a lot of people coming in, like yourself, who are fans of their other games and want to check out, you know, one of the... games that they used to make that they're making a new version of. So
I can guarantee you that Armored Core, because, you know, it's going to have it's been confirmed that it's going to have PvP modes already.
Oh yeah, but it always
like 1v1 and a 3v3. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, it's had that before. It's had PvE modes, yeah. PvP modes before. So I think Master Arena was like 2-on-2, 3-on-3, something like that. So
yeah.
Yeah, they've never had it all in one game, but they've always had offshoots that had a little extra wrinkle to them. So that was our thoughts in regards to Armored Core and Exoprimal, a couple other things. But just to finish off the rest of this episode, I wanted to talk a little bit about San Diego Comic-Con had just passed from the time that I'm recording this, and they showed... Now, I'm a big Transformers fan. I'm just going to say this right now. When they've come out with the... they released the figures for the 86... Studios 86, which is the stuff I remember growing up. And, you know, more... you know, the figures based upon what I remember as a kid, but updated to today's, like, standard. So, like, I have the space version of Bumblebee, and I have the 80 Studio 86 version of Cup, and I have the space version, well, the Cybertronian version of, like I said, Bumblebee and also Jazz. So, you know, I am a fan. I don't follow like the cartoons and stuff that they have now, but the reason why I say all this is because most of you would know, whether you're a Transformers fan or not, that Robosyn, which is a company that makes robots that for a pretty decent price point makes robots for you to play, you know, I would say play, but the price point that they're selling you this stuff for is pretty high. It's pretty steep, honestly. But yeah, basically the robots, they do, you know, commands and that kind of thing. You could talk to them and stuff. It's like a robotic Teddy Ruxpin, I guess you could say. But they had their first, they had their robot that came out, but their first robot that came out that was based upon the Hasbro Transformer license was, I believe it was Optimus Prime. So that Optimus Prime Robosyn, transforming Optimus Prime at that, was, it was dope. I mean, at the time, it was like, you know, I think it was like $1,000. I want to say it was like $1,000 to get that thing. And that was cool. I mean, you know, I don't know if I was going to pay $1,000 for that. But then they came out with a Bumblebee, I believe, but the Bumblebee did not transform. It was just a robot that was skinned as it was Bumblebee. So you had, so you have Optimus Prime, you have Optimus Prime's trailer that you can buy separately. How much did that Optimus Prime? Yeah, the Optimus Prime was about $1,000. And then you can get the trailer. I forgot how much the trailer cost. And you had a Bumblebee robot, but he didn't transform. The Optimus Prime transformed. The Bumblebee robot that was non-transforming, I think it was like $400. And then now they just announced that you can get a Grimlock, which I'm going to be honest, the Grimlock looks dope. He transforms. You don't have to worry about, he like self balances himself while he's transforming and all kinds of stuff. He makes all kinds of noises. I think they got the guy who played Grimlock in the cartoon and in the movie to do the voices for the robot. And it's dope. It's definitely a dope machine. But keep in mind, I said Optimus Prime, when he came out, and even to this day right now, he's like $9.99. So it's about a little over $1,000 with tax and shipping and all other stuff. Grimlock is $1,700. That's right. 1700. $1,700. So it's dope. It has a dinosaur. It has a bunch of commands for the dinosaur, and it has a bunch of commands for Grimlock when he's in robot form. It's great, but it's $1,700. I'm a fan, but I'm not that much of a fan. I mean, I was like, yo, I don't know. It would be dope to have the Optimus Prime, but $1,000 is a lot of money for just something that's, for something that I'm not really going to use that much, and it'd be more or less like something to put on a shelf. But Grimlock at $1,700? I don't even know who's buying that for their kids. Like, even if you have the money, that's pretty steep. And if you're going to tell me that you're going to, in order for you like to have halfway decent pricing, like the Bumblebee, $400, that's not bad considering. I mean, I had gotten a PS5 for $500 and I don't even play that. So, you know, $400 isn't bad for something that actually can do some stuff and has a Bumblebee voice and stuff. It doesn't transform, which I'm not surprised. Like, you know, I was talking to somebody before and they were like, oh, I think the Bumblebee transforms. I'm like, Bumblebee doesn't, like Optimus Prime, you could see how Optimus Prime could transform from a truck to a robot. Bumblebee, that's a whole nother kind of conversation, because there's a lot of like resizing there and movement. Like, they can make one, that transforms, but it's going to be probably higher than $1,700 to do that. So especially if you're looking at Grimlock and he's $1,700, you can only imagine how much a Bumblebee is going to cost if it could transform. So I was like, $1,700. I guess in my head, I was like, I guess I'm never going to get any of these things. So I guess that's going to be a wrap for me. But it's dope though. It's great looking robot. The Robotson is making some nice stuff. This stuff is just way out of my price range. So, but if it's in your price range, that's definitely something dope or something great to get for a person that you know is a loved one who's a Transformers fan. So, on that note, I think that's where I'm going to end this episode. Like I said, this episode was in regards to Robot Wednesday. So not every Wednesday we're going to have a Robot Wednesday, but when we do have anything that's robot related, trust, it will be on Robot Wednesday. It would drop on a Wednesday. So as always, for Otaku by Otaku, thanks for listening, guys. And peace.